Good morning.
Good morning.
Somebody said I put it all in God's hands. You're the choir of the round of applause.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Reverend Gerald, and I am blessed and grateful. I'm blessed to stand here.
Amen.
I'm blessed to stand here and speak a word to you, with you, as you. And I'm grateful for all the experiences in my life and all the expressions of that life that have prepared me to be of service to others. Blessed and grateful I am for all the people who have been, will be, and are presently a part of my life.
Amen.
And particularly my wife, Rosalind, who's here with us today. And I'm blessed and grateful that all of you, the Guidance family, continues to welcome and allow me to have church with you.
Amen.
Now, you know, I've told you before, I'm one of those folk who loves some church. I grew up in church, and I remember as a little lad in Miracle Baptist Church over on Central Avenue.
That's right. That's where I went to.
And a little later on at New Hope Baptist Church, a little further down Central Avenue. Mom made me go, but I found myself enjoying some church. I enjoyed the music, the choir. I enjoyed that noise that that organ made you feel good. I even enjoyed Sister So-and-so, who got to shouting every once in a while.
Hello.
Until she accidentally slapped me upside down.
Okay,
but like everybody else, you know, as I got older and got into my late teens and early 20s, I got away from church. But the Bible says, train up a child as he should go, and he will always return to that. So I returned to church under the guise of Founders Church. And I took what I learned at Founders Church. I took what I learned at the Mariah Institute of Creative Intelligence. I took what I learned at Los Angeles Third Church. I took what I learned from the founder of this church and blended it all with Miracle and New Hope Baptist Church. And what you have is a Jesus-loving New Thought preacher. So I'm blessed and highly favored.
There you go.
Fortunate. I'm one like all of you who strive to be made holy, consecrated, dedicated to the embodiment of spiritual truth. This being the first Sunday all over this great land and all over the world, people are materially consuming the body and the blood of Christ on this first Sunday. So I'm truly blessed. But when you say you're truly blessed, it doesn't mean that everything goes just how you want it to go every time you want it to go that way. It does not mean you get what you want when you want it. It means that you recognize that there is a power and that you unify with that power and that you realize that that power can endure all things, that power can change all things, because that power is everything. It means that you embody the Christ consciousness that eternally connects you to the peace that surpasses all understanding.
That's right.
You see, knowing Jesus is that relationship that enables you to be grateful for all things. You see, when you're grateful, you carry an attitude of appreciation. You have a consciousness of kindness and thankfulness. You have an attitude of gratitude. I identified that attitude of gratitude last month when we went through what we call the Beatitudes. You see, when you're blessed and grateful, you're also humble. You have no arrogance. You're humble enough to accept and enter into that highest consciousness, which is the kingdom of Christ. You're mournful. Even though you might miss something or lose something, you know that that there is something that can comfort you in your time of need, so therefore you comfort others.
Right.
And you're meek. You're strong enough that no matter what comes at you, you're able to keep your reactions under control, which will allow you to inherit the earth, which is control over your physical surroundings. You're just. You know that if you treat everyone fairly, they will be satisfied, which will satisfy you. And you're merciful. You always find a way to help somebody, because you know every time you help somebody, you're helping yourself. I was at an event last night, and this young pastor said something that really stuck with me. He says, find something that just upsets you so much that you can't sleep at night. And then get up the next day and do what you can to change that. Some folk call that finding your passion. But he put a little twist on it that really got me. Instead of complaining about what you see, instead of complaining about what you hear, instead of complaining about who's in charge, because you're the only one that's truly in charge of your life, get up and do something about it. Then you can be merciful. And after that, you have to always have a pure heart. You have to have a heart that's free of all negative influences. Because unless you're free of all negative influences, you cannot see the God in me, you cannot see the God in yourself, and you certainly can't see the God in others. Then you will be a peacemaker. Show unconditional love to everybody that comes into your space. You will be demonstrating your sonship and your daughtership with God. Because there will be times, even though you have the right attitude, even though you follow every beatitude, somebody's going to come at you wrong. Amen. You're going to get persecuted. But those who are persecuted yet follow Jesus, yet maintain the Christ consciousness, yet maintain an atmosphere of unconditional love, will reap their reward, which is that harvest we talked about last time. An attitude of gratitude requires us to maintain what I like to call as a heavenly consciousness. But I know some of you are sitting in your seats right now thinking this. You're saying, how can I maintain the highest level of consciousness, Reverend Gerald, when the doctor gave me a diagnosis that was unfavorable? You're asking yourself, how can I declare that I am blessed and grateful when my family is going to hell in a handbasket? You're asking me, how can I stand up and really convince myself that there's a blessing and I should be grateful for everything that's going on when the bank nor the IRS will forgive my debt? Well, if you paid attention to the readings this morning, you know the answer, and the answer is very simple. It's faith. Only by faith can you heal the sick and raise the dead. Only by faith can you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Only by faith that you can realize no matter the appearance, there's a divine purpose for all occurrences. Only by faith can you remain in a state of grace in the midst of extenuating circumstances. Only by faith can you have the complete trust in that inward presence of God. Only by faith can you be more like Jesus. Only by faith can you turn your crucifixion into an ascension. Only by faith you can declare that you're blessed and grateful in every circumstance of life. So it's November 5th already. In a while, you're going to be sitting around your Thanksgiving table. And when you sit around your Thanksgiving table, and it's time to have that prayer. Remember, you're not just praying for all the good stuff that you experienced this year. You're praying for everything that's happened to you, every incident that you've occurred in your life, because every one of them was God sent to show you something. Every one of them, if you pay close attention, you learn something. So when Thanksgiving comes, we must be accepting and appreciative of all the experiences in our life. And that requires an unwavering faith. Ernest Holmes tells us this. He says, pure faith is a spiritual conviction. It is the acquiescence of the mind, the embodiment of an idea, the acceptance of a concept. If we believe that spirit incarnate in us can demonstrate, shall we be disturbed at what appears to contradict it? No need to know that truth, what we've announced, will always be and always has been superior to the condition that we seek to change. You know, this thing called faith, you know, it started right after we messed up in the beginning. You know, we had to get back to from whence we came. So in this book, in the very first book of Genesis, in the 12th chapter, it starts out by telling us what we need to do. It talks about Abram. But it's telling us what we need to do to regain that unwavering faith and trust in God so we can be blessed and grateful for every experience in our life. It says this. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, depart from your country and from the place of your nativity and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great people, and I will bless you and make you great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." What God was saying to Abram, who represents faith in things that are unseen. You see, Abram is you and I when we have a high idea that we're going to allow to become spiritually guided. He told him to get away from his own country, leave his birthplace, and then particularly get out of his father's house. You see, that country was Chaldea. Chaldea represents a consciousness where we're confused, where we're focused on material worship, where we're lacking spiritual substance. And that birthplace was a town they called Ur. That birthplace means that we're all born into an active intelligence that allows us to begin to just get a glimmer of spiritual light. But something was holding him back. Something is holding you back. In his case, it was Terah, who was his father. Because his father was inactive spiritually. His father allowed the senses to guide his every move. And because he was inactive, because he wasn't spiritually enlightened, it delayed his family's blessings. So the family had to move to a place called Haran, scripture says, and that's that exalted state of mind that's determined to find that spiritual enlightenment. And it was there where the father met with his demise. It was where the father died, the Bible says. So Abram stayed in Haran. He stayed there until when he left, he was 75 years old, scripture says. That 75, those of you who know anything about numbers, means seeking grace and restoration. When he left Haran, he was seeking grace and restoration. But he took somebody with him that he should have left behind. That somebody was Lot. Lot went with him. You know how it is sometimes. You get on the right track. You finally gotten sober. And you find yourself at a party that has all the whiskey and all the drugs displayed right in front of your face. So you get challenged every time you step up and want to do the right thing. So Abram had put himself in a position to leave and to move and seek that promised land, but he decided to take his nephew with him. And when he took Lot with him, that's when he took all that negative energy and all the things that he should have left behind. But then he finally got hip. So he and Lot parted company at the Jordan. See, the Jordan represents that muddy water of materiality that we must cross in order to get to the promised land. So Lot decided he would go back and visit the villages of Sodom, that lowest form of all of our sense desires. But not Abram. Abram went on into Canaan. He went on into an atmosphere that was humble and receptive. He went to a place where he could produce the character through faith in God's omnipresence. You see, God told him. He said, if you leave those places in consciousness, I will bless you and make your name great. God told him that if you leave the country that lacks spiritual substance and move beyond your birthplace, you will bask in a spiritual light. God told him that if you release your father's bad habits and become spiritually active, God told him you will find grace and restoration in spiritual enlightenment. God said, I will make your name great. What he was telling him is he'll make your nature great. He'll give you the power to demonstrate the Christ consciousness. And he also said that he would bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all will be blessed. What he was telling you is that if you allow those who follow Christ, they'll be blessed. And those that will deny his nature will continue to suffer sorrow. And your faith alone will make you whole. Your faith will make you blessed and grateful. But Abram wasn't fixed yet. There were still some things that he had to deal with. So if you go on and you keep reading, you're going to get to chapter 13. And you're going to read verses 14 through 18. And they're going to say this about him. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look northward and southward, eastward and westward. And for all the land which you see, to you I will give it, and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants like the dust of the earth, so that if you can remember the dust of the earth, then shall your descendants also be members. Arise, walk through the land, the length and the breadth of it, and I will give it to you. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt by the oak of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar to the Lord. There's another step to gaining that unwavering faith. The Bible tells us we must separate from all our negative influence. So he had moved away from Lot. So then God said, lift up your eyes, expand your spiritual vision, search your mind. He told him to look northward, which look all around you at your outer self. Get your conscious mind together. And then he said, look southward, which is that inner spirit. That's some conscious mind that needs to be cleaned up and freed to do the work that it was given to do. It says, don't just look eastward, but look westward as well. So it's telling you to examine yourself inside and out. And all that you see, all that you can consciously comprehend, all that you can spiritually understand, that you will possess. Continue to deny the physical and control your body. He told him to walk. He said, go to a higher place and walk, meaning acknowledge the Christ consciousness within you in all the times and all the places that you go. Trade in your temporary desires for an eternal one. When you got to Mamre, Mamre stands for the firmness and strength and vitality of spirit. Hebron is where your lasting alliances and friendships all come together. So when you get to that space, you're able to build an altar. And all that altar represents is a permanent place in consciousness that's willing to give up the lower for the higher. Faith in God brings right relationships with your spiritual faculties. It gives you an unlimited substance and supply, and it provides you with what you really need, which is not material, but spiritual riches. Yes, that faith is how we are spiritually rewarded. It is by faith that we were blessed and grateful, that we are open and receptive to receive the Christ mind. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. You see, building a strong faith creates an atmosphere to maintain that attitude of gratitude. It creates an atmosphere where we can realize that we are blessed. Therefore, we should always be grateful. But having an attitude of gratitude, it produces satisfaction. But likewise, satisfaction yields an attitude of gratitude. They kind of go hand in hand. So to declare that you are blessed and grateful, you must first be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Now, when I say you got to be satisfied, I'm not about to give you one of them by and by messages telling you to suffer here so you can get it later. That is not what I mean by being satisfied. We always want more and expect more, but yet we can still be satisfied. Mm-hmm. Because being satisfied is not a measure of what you have. Mm-hmm. Being satisfied is a measure of what you believe. You see, when you're satisfied, you recognize God's unlimited supply, and you're convinced of his omnipresence. Mm-hmm. When you're satisfied, you give your best effort, and you rely on your creative ideas. When you're satisfied, you're patient and understanding, and you have no criticism of yourself or others. Mm-hmm. When you're satisfied, you don't compare yourself to others. You focus on the plenty that you already have. You see, when you're satisfied, you're thankful for all that you have, and particularly that you have to share. Mm-hmm. Satisfied, you can say it without hesitation. I am enough. I have enough. I am faithful. I have an attitude of gratitude. I am satisfied. I am blessed, and I am grateful. Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
Well, let's say it together. I'm going to say it and you repeat it after me. I am enough and I have enough.
I am enough and I have enough.
I am grateful.
I am grateful.
I am faithful.
I am faithful.
I have an attitude of gratitude.
I have an attitude of gratitude.
I am satisfied.
I am satisfied.
I am blessed and I am grateful.
I am blessed and I am grateful.
The Tao Te Ching says this. It says, be content with what you have. Mm. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world will belong to you. Then you will be truly blessed and grateful. Blessed, which we all are, is knowing that we have the power to endure or change any condition. When we humble ourselves to the attitude of gratitude, our faith allows us to be grateful for each and every experience that we have in this life. You see, when we are blessed and grateful, we must leave the old country. I said, if you want to be blessed and you want to be grateful, you have to ignore the bad habits of your past. To be blessed and grateful, you gotta cross over the muddy waters of confusion. To be blessed and grateful, you gotta expand your spiritual understanding. To be blessed and grateful, you gotta inherit the consciousness of the Christ. To be blessed and grateful, you have to receive our spiritual reward. To be blessed and grateful, we have to clear our minds, open our hearts, and stand in our unwavering faith. Then, and only then, we can declare without hesitation. We can declare in spite of what's going on right now in our life, what's going on in all of appearances. We can stand before mankind and God and all creation and say what? That we are blessed and grateful. Because when we're blessed and grateful, we got the right attitude. When we're blessed and grateful, we're able to stand firm in our faith. When we're blessed and grateful, we're always satisfied with who we are, where we are, and most importantly, what we are. When we're blessed and grateful, we can endure and change any condition. When we're blessed and grateful, we can find that one thing that keeps us up at night and get up the next day and do something about it. You see, we don't always realize when we're blessed and when we're grateful. Sometimes we can have it all going on and still feel like there's something bad about to happen. Mm-hmm. There was a time when I had one of those, what they call, good jobs. And I decided, because I don't know why. Sometimes I think about it, I can't figure it out yet. But I decided I was going to leave that good job and start my own business. And the last day that I was going into the office to say my goodbyes and wish everybody well and have them wish me well, I'm standing on the corner near Melrose and Gower. And as I'm waiting for this long light to change, all of a sudden, fear gripped me. All of a sudden, I started saying to myself, what have you done? You done walked away from this good paying job. I'd only been married a year, so you know I was under pressure. And I'm standing there, what if it doesn't work? What if I fail? What if I'm not able to take care of my family? What if I lose my house? Oh, I was just paralyzed on this corner. But just like Abram, God spoke to me. He said, good morning. How are you? Isn't this a wonderful day? And I'm looking around and I don't see anything. And he said it to me one more time. He said, good morning. How are you? Isn't this a wonderful day? Now, I'm a spiritual brother, but when I heard it loud as I heard it and still couldn't see anybody, I started to really get shaken up. So he came to me a third time. He said, good morning. How are you? Isn't this a wonderful day? And he was so loud that I could hear where it was coming from, and I looked down. And there, coming towards me, with the biggest smile you ever wanted to see on anybody's face, he had, I don't know what happened to him, but he had a leather torso wrapped around where his legs used to be. And he was moving down the street like this, with boxing gloves on his hands. And he got right next to me, and he looked up, and he said, good morning, how are you? Isn't this a wonderful day? With the biggest smile you ever want to see on anybody's face. And here I am standing there. Two legs, two arms, a pocket full of money, a portion in the parking lot. Standing there concerned, worried, fretting, fearful about what's going to happen tomorrow. And this man had nothing to stand on and was happy as he could be. Happy enough to deliver a blessing to me. And my life changed that day and will stay changed because now I know you can be blessed and grateful no matter what the condition. It's all about what's in your mind. It's all about what you believe and what you're willing to share with somebody else. My name is Reverend Gerald, and I am blessed and grateful.
Grateful.